John 17, verses 1 to 5. Jesus prays for his followers. After Jesus said these things, he looked towards heaven. Jesus prayed, "Father, the time has come. Give glory to your Son so that the Son can give glory to you. You gave the Son power over all people so that the people you have given to him, and this eternal life that men can know you, the only true God, and that men can know Jesus Christ, the one you sent. I have finished the work for you gave me to do. I have brought you glory on earth, and now, Father, give me glory with you. Gave me the glory I had with you before the world was made."
So here is Jesus praying. We don't often get to hear Jesus pray. There are one or two times in the Gospels where we hear Jesus at prayer, but this is the only time that we hear Jesus's prayer at any length. An amazing window here onto the way that he related to his Father. Most of the time in the Gospels, Jesus prays at a distance. He goes off on his own. Maybe there's something here that's almost too holy for us to see. So let's just feel the incredible sense of privilege that we have here, that this prayer was recorded at length. And let's appreciate the relationship that he has with his Father, because he wants to draw us into the same relationship. We're doing this on Father's Day. For some of us, it might help to be thinking about fathers today. For some of us, maybe not. But here is what the relationship of Father and Son looks like. "Father, the hour has come." So this is just before his crucifixion. "Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Now, what does that word glorify mean? I like to translate the New Testament word for glorify as make a big deal of. You have glory when people are making a big deal of you. So Gareth Bale, I'm recording this on Thursday, so I don't know what happened between England and Scotland as I record this. But Gareth Bale, well, probably didn't get any glory for the penalty miss, but he certainly had a lot of glory after the two goals that he did have the assist for when Wales were playing Turkey. People made a big deal of him, and Jesus has come to make a big deal of the Father. And he asked that the Father will give a big deal to him, the Son. Now, normally, we ought to be suspicious of people who want to make a big deal of themselves. But you see, what we're seeing here isn't preaching. It's not Jesus saying, "Make a big deal of me." It's Jesus almost off camera saying to his Father, "I'll make a big deal of you. You make a big deal of me." Which is how Jesus taught us to pray. You know, go into your room, talk to your Father. Don't do it to impress other people. Don't do it so other people will think well of you. Jesus is laying his life down This isn't the prayer of somebody who's making a bid for power, someone who's standing for election, someone who's saying, I am the king. It's somebody who has just washed his disciples' feet and will now lay his life down for them and for us. And he trusts the Father to make a big deal of him. Now, there's something here about our relationship with the Lord. I believe that the Father wants to make a big deal of his people, to make a big deal of the church. And here he's praying for, well, the first generation of disciples, but also for us, that what we will do will make a big deal of us, not so that people will think that we are great, but that so that people in the world will know that the Father is great. So Jesus makes a big deal of God's love, as the New Testament so often does. He makes that huge deal of God's love. He prays that that love will fill the church so that people will see and that they will make a big deal of the Father who has made this possible through the death and resurrection of the Son and through the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Just look at that last verse of the prayer. He says, I've made known to them, he's talking to about us here, I've made known to them your name, I've shown them who you really are, in other words, I'll continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. We don't have the time today to look at John 17 in full detail, much as I would like to. But I want to say two things about God's love. The first thing is that I believe utterly that God loves us, but the Bible stresses is not that God loves us, but that God loved us. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. How do we know God loves us now? Because almost 2,000 years ago, he gave his son. And his son went to that cross freely for us. And this is something that's stressed again and again. We know the Father loves us because he loved us at that moment. And he revealed his heart to us. And the second thing about love, he talks about the love with which the Father has loved the Son and says, well, I pray that that's going to be in my people. Now, let's see if we can get this today. Because sometimes I find that Christians really struggle to believe that God loves them. Maybe you feel guilt about something. Maybe you just don't feel you're good enough. And I believe that one of the keys to Christian living is that we get beyond that. And here is a key that Jesus is giving us. So let's really try and grasp this. What matters is not whether we deserve God's love. What matters is that the Father loves the Son. So there is this perfect love between God the Father and Jesus the Son, the Word of God who's become human. There's this perfect love between them. And Jesus prays that that love will be in us. He doesn't tell us it will be in this passage. He doesn't tell us that we need to do something to make it happen. He prays for it. Wow. Today we come under the prayer of Jesus that the love that the Father has for the Son, and the Son has for the Father, will be in us. That's what it means to know God as Father. Now that might sound a little bit strange if you're not used to that language. But as Jesus has been saying in these last few chapters, it's about God the Father and the Son coming and living in us and the Spirit making that real to us. So today, if you want to know that you're loved by God, just say yes to the prayer of Jesus. Just say, yeah, I submit to your prayer. And he prays for the church that this love will be so great within us, that this love for the Father and the Son that's within us will be so great that the world will notice. He doesn't pray that God is going to zap the world and change it, much as we often pray that sort of prayer. No, he prays for his people, that his love will be so experienced among them that the world has to notice. He prays that we who believe will be fully one, just as he and the Father are one. And he says this in order, and this is verse, 23, that the world may know that you sent them and you loved them even as you loved me. The love of God real in the church. I can't think of a better place to come to the end of what was going to be my last sermon here before I move. May the love of God that Jesus prayed for, may the love of the Father and the Son that Jesus prayed for be experienced by you. You as an individual, you as part of a church family, that people will glorify the church, that people will make a big deal of the church, not because they're impressed by us, but because they see the love of the Father in us. And because of that, they make a big deal of the Father. It's time to pray together.